stop living somebody else's dream. Stop. Freedom comes with responsibility. That's the... There is no separation of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to be free, you got to be responsible for your actions.
Ali, hallo und willkommen zum Business Hippie Podcast, dein Podcast für berufliche Selbstverwirklichung und harmonischen Erfolg. Ich bin der Ferdinand, ich unterstütze anderen Menschen dabei, Klarheit für ihre Berufung, für ihren Traumjob zu bekommen, damit sie ein bisschen mehr Dinge tun, die sie tun möchten und dafür vielleicht ein bisschen weniger bloß die Dinge, wo wir denken oder sie denken, unbedingt tun zu brauchen. Heute ist das für mich eine ganz besondere Folge, denn ich interviewe hier meinen guten Freund Daniel. Den habe ich in Australien kennengelernt während meiner wilden Hippie-Zeit. Und die Folge ist für mich deshalb so besonders, weil wir haben uns in einen ganz besonderen Abschnitt, einen ganz wichtigen Abschnitt in meinem Leben kennengelernt. Als ich mir mal die Entscheidung getroffen habe, einfach wirklich alles sein zu lassen, meinen ganzen Job einfach mal alles zu kündigen und für ein Jahr nach Australien zu gehen, wo ich da in den Hippie-Kommunen quasi meine zweite Kindheit erlebt habe. Eine unglaublich tolle Zeit. Und dort habe ich eben Daniel getroffen und er ist für mich einfach so ein toller Mann, weil er ist ein wirklich richtiger Herzensmensch und er hat sein Leben so nach ganz anderen Werten gelebt, als wie ich das jetzt eigentlich kannte. Er ist einfach da zur Uni gegangen und hat dort studiert und aber auch dann sehr schnell gemerkt, das ist nicht sein Weg und war dann sich aber auch keiner anderen Alternative bewusst und ist dann auch erstmal in ein ganz großes Loch gefallen. Darüber reden wir, wie es für ihn war, in Melbourne zu sein und zu wissen, es geht ihm jetzt bald das Geld aus und er hat keine anderen wirklichen Alternativen. Also natürlich hat er die gehabt, er könnte irgendeinen Job nehmen, aber das wollte er nicht, er wollte irgendwas anderes und hat sich dann entschlossen, mit eigentlich wirklich überhaupt gar kein Geld wufen zu gehen in einer Farm für Permakultur und hat dort wirklich dann seine Berufung gefunden. Ein sehr untypischer Karriereweg, aber er war dann wirklich dann in seiner Kraft gewesen. Wir reden darüber, wie es für ihn war, wirklich auch alles Bekannte hinter sich zu lassen. Und ja, ich mag Daniel einfach so sehr, weil er ist ein unglaublicher Herzensmensch. Ihr werdet da in diesem Interview seine ganze Transformation miterleben und ihr könnt euch da einfach zurücklehnen, weil ich höre ihn da so gerne zu und gleichzeitig könnt ihr euch über mein Broken English lustig machen. Das Interview ist nämlich auf Englisch und das ist, glaube ich, so eins meiner ersten Videos, die ich auf Englisch mache. Deshalb bin ich da auch so ein bisschen aufgeregt. Man sieht es mir vielleicht nicht an, aber man hört es, weil ich dann irgendwie struggle. Also da fängt schon an, die richtigen Wörter zu finden. Wenn dir diese Folge gefällt oder wenn du da ein paar Anregungen hast, dann freue ich mich unglaublich, wenn du mir unter den heutigen Post bei Facebook da deine Erkenntnisse runterschreibst oder auch die Erkenntnisse, die du aus diesem Interview rausgenommen hast, poste die gerne auf YouTube. Daniel und ich werden sie uns dann sehr gerne anschauen und euch dann die auch dann sehr gerne beantworten.
The most important thing to get a work what I'm really passionate about for me was actually to doing the quite opposite, to just manage some time without working at all and just having some nice adventures by myself. And I'm very glad here that I have like an expert about this, about living an extraordinary life and with a lot of adventures. And I'm really, very welcome Daniel Figueredo to the Business Hippie Podcast.
Awesome. I'm honored.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I hope I have something worthwhile to contribute.
I'm pretty sure. Daniel, in our society, especially in the Western society, for the people, it's very important what they are work. Like when you meet someone, the very first question is, what are you doing?
And
what do you do exactly? And what they really mean is like, what do you work? In the Eastern society,
and how do you make money?
How do you make money? Exactly, better than this. In the Eastern society, it's different. There was like, what are your family and stuff like this. They are more about this. But here in the Western society, they are about what do you work? How do you make money? What do you think? Why is this so?
Well, it's our most... I think it comes from our scientific logical nature. And so it's very much easier to put people into categories and to measure, which comes from the scientific way, the worth of somebody in numbers. And thus, by extension, dollars or euros. So yeah, that's I would say something like that. I mean, I don't. I find it very difficult. I've found it very difficult to grow up in the Western society because of this. Because I never value somebody based upon logic, because it's illogical. Fucking, I don't know. People are so illogical that to just use one form of measurement to be able to determine whether that person is worthwhile, I don't know, being around or interacting with, is really shallow. It's really, it's not enough. I don't know. It's just really like the, I've met really people, I've made money and not been happy or been an asshole. So, you know, it's, I know from my own personal experience, it's not a good measurement. So yeah, I have a conflict with this, but I do understand the need for efficient communication, or the fact that when you first meet someone, you don't have sometimes the time. So there is a purpose, or there's a reason why, at least.
I see. So when we meet each other, it was in my crazy hippie time in Australia, or basically when we meet each other, this time was starting for me, like my then that was the beginning of my hippie times. Can you just bring us and our listeners back to the beginning, where does it started with you? Because I know you're good and stuff like this, but you was also studying at first, like going to the normal way from the Western society, I would say. But then from some reason you stopped. Can you just tell us why?
I find it very hard to pinpoint, because I feel I'm very much into the idea of evolution, and there are in evolution there are moments like, say, like the meteor destroying the dinosaur, so it's a very clear change. But generally I feel like for the most part evolution is step by step, and it's very hard to point to, okay, this is the moment where the universe told me to change my life or something like this. I don't have these moments, you know, like a lot of people say, you know, I was walking in the bush and you know, I got dizzy and then God spoke to me and told me to change my life, something like this. I have a lot of these moments my whole life. I used to suffer seizures as a child. If you know, seizure is like when your body shakes uncontrollably and you're like, ugh, as a little child. And that was a interesting moment for my perception of reality, because from the outside, I can imagine it looking freaky, like especially to my mother who was there, and she'd be like, oh. And but on the inside, I was calm, completely calm. And so I was realizing that the sort of outside perception of things is not the only thing, right? There is the inside and outside. So that was maybe like one moment. And then talking about this transformation from being sort of going the normal way and realizing that that's not the way for me was Yeah, like I did all the normal things. My mother was an immigrant in Australia, and she didn't get to go to high school even because she was the oldest woman in her family, in a self-sustainable agricultural family. So that means she has to stay home. So for her, going to university was a big deal. And she sacrificed a lot of her time, basically worked every single day of my life that I've been alive to make sure that there's enough money for me and my sister to go to university and, transcend middle class, not middle class, but like worker and be someone more professional.
Yes, yes. And so you went to the university in Melbourne?
Yeah, I was kind of convinced by this.
Yes.
I was convinced by my mother's sacrifice, more her sacrifice than what she actually told me.
Yes.
That I felt obliged somewhat to at least try my hardest to go to university. And so then high school's finished. I'm just so fucking happy to be out of school. I'm like, and then it's like, oh fuck, but now I have to go to more school. Okay, university, what's the options? Doctor, and it's all the stereotypical bullshit, you know, doctor. I had no idea about like the humanities and psychology and all these kind of other kind of topics. It was all just the hard sciences. Maths, or physics, or doctor, or engineer. So I was like, I like breaking things apart, or finding out the reason why things work and fit, and I like using my hands. So if I'm gonna go into some sort of scientific field, then engineering sounded the best to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, and it's also success, you could be successful, make money, and be a success in society. So I chose engineering. And went through university, made a break because it was just too, I went to TAFE. TAFE is kind of like a technical college, 2 years, and then from that you could make a bridge into an official university degree of mechanical engineering. And so I made such good friends, all kind of like, you know, regular type people, not like they're all exceptional in their own way, but not like logic smart type people, just like for me what I would call just like just characters. I don't know, you know, like I hate to fucking label people. I don't know. So in this break I had to make a decision, what course I decided to go for aerospace engineering, but all my other friends went for other stuff, mechanical engineering, automotive engineering, and manufacturing engineering. So we all split up, and then I found myself alone again in aerospace engineering, and it was a heavy load of studying, and I couldn't deal with it anymore. So that was the kind of first like, oh fuck this, you know, I'm just gonna go live my life.
Okay, and can you tell me what does it mean for you, live my life? Because there was like then you really have to make a decision, like really going to the university again, or really diving more into this world, or just leave it, and which you did. So can you just tell me about this phase? So really when you make really this the decision, okay, I'm gonna just leave now the university and going to live my life. How does it feel?
I can't really point. It wasn't that moment for me. I was still, like, you know, quite young, and I wasn't making decisions fully consciously. So mostly it was just like, oh, university, this is too much. I'm not clicking with anyone. I don't have friends, and you know, I'm not feeling it. I'm feeling like I'm being forced into living a way I don't want to live, I don't connect with. So then, in that moment, I was even thinking about joining the army because, you know, adventure, or they could pay for you. Also, I've always been lower middle class person. Like, my mother's not paying for shit, you know? Like, I don't have financial freedom to really, because I had this old way of thinking that you need finances in mm-hmm. order to change your life, or in order to have enough freedom or time to travel and stuff like that. I never realized that you could just fucking hit the road and you'll be fine.
Okay, so I think this is a very important
thing. In this stage of my life.
Yeah, I think this is a very important thing about lots of people, because a lot of people are wishing like to go and travel and stuff like this and doing adventure and all the beautiful and crazy stuff. Mm. But the main excuse is, oh, they cannot because I don't have any money.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so, the trick.
It's the trick, yeah.
To keep us going.
Yeah.
To keep us in the machine. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
And how do you manage to get out of this? Because it is for a lot of people a real fear, and so it was also for me.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I know you're sorry, but okay. Well, then we're going to have to time travel to, I just finished university.
Yeah.
Because then I had a break in that aerospace.
Yes,
I quit aerospace. I had a year off. Then I went back to uni. I traveled to Europe, but traveled like a, more or less like a backpacker, mm-hmm. you know, like not pushing myself, and still making sure I had enough money to survive.
Yes.
So it really not this kind of freedom, but this is what I'm trying to say. It's an evolution process.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a necessary step for me. Just the fact that I left, went to Europe and just saw another part of the world. And even if I was staying in backpackers all the time, every once in a while, I'd meet a wild traveler or something like this, or someone who's pushing the limits that would inspire me. But then I'm like, oh, but that guy seems a bit too crazy for me, you know? Like, not yet. I wasn't ready yet. Okay, so then keep fast forwarding, come back to Australia. I'm like, fuck, I'm back in Australia. I just had a nice travel overseas, but now what the fuck am I going to do? The money is still a restriction. I still need an apartment to stay in, blah, 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 blah. Went back to uni because uni life is easy, actually. You get money from the government, you know, enough money to pay for an apartment. I was getting $500 a fortnight every 2 weeks and paying an apartment, which was about $500 a month. And my own food, all this kind of blah, blah, blah. And still saving money. I was always good with money. But then I got to the end of the university course and I was like still disillusioned, still. What was I? Maybe 26 by then. I don't know. Something like this. And only at that stage had I discovered consciousness as a concept even. Like there was a guy I was studying with who became a really good friend of mine, and he was into yoga. And I remember once we just went to a mountainside. I used to love going to these kind of places and smoking a spliff and just like disconnecting from Babylon or, you know, like the city environment, and just kind of, you know, looking out into the world, searching or like praying, or I don't know, there's so many words, but like trying to connect to something greater than this simple earthly demands of eating and surviving and stuff.
So you have already there a feeling like, okay, the life which I was living right now wasn't not fit into me, so I would love to discover something else.
Yes, and not only that it wasn't fitting, that it wasn't the only thing. That there's more. There's so much happening, and you see it on TV and online, but you just don't feel like, oh, maybe it's fake. Mm. Maybe it's just fucking movies and shit. I don't know. You know, like it's so hard to trust things online. And so I remember going with this guy to the mountains, and he's like the type of character who's comfortable in himself. And so he's like, I'm just going to go do some yoga. I'm like, wow, okay, cool. You know, because I'm so used to, you know, like the general city politeness of being forced to always interact with each other and not just being able to say, I'm going to do this. you're a free human being. You can do whatever you want to do at the same time. You know, like we don't always have to, just because we're now having a date or something like this, that we have to do exactly the same thing. And we're forced by our societal structure to interact in this formal way, you know, of being polite. And he would just go, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just smoking a spliff, watching him, and then doing my own thing. I always used to just like tune to listen to an album and just kind of like lay in my car and smoke a spliff and just be like, wow, 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 wow. I don't know, like trying to, seeking, always seeking. And I think this is a important fact of me, is that forever I've been seeking. So that's an important, some people are not seeking all the time, and that's fine. That's fine for them. And that can make them be suited to whatever scenario they happen to be in. I feel like even if I was having hippie parents, I would then seek city life. I think it's part of my personality. So a big part of it is just knowing who you are, I think. Anyway, so then I would be talking to him and he'd be like, yeah, you know, like consciousness. I'm like, yeah, I had the same definition of consciousness like anyone, meaning you're logically planning something. Like, you know, you're choosing to do something. You're aware, you're thinking about it, and you're doing something. But he had the Eastern philosophy idea of consciousness, which is that core spirit within the humanity that allows us, that is the watcher, that is the constant within the being while it constantly changes and maintains, like, it's like the seed. It maintains the, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like, it maintains a constant that allows for you to evolve or allows for you to perceive evolution.
And did you get this when it was just talking about this?
No, I was like, okay, consciousness, interesting. And then he's like explaining it. And then it was just, he simply put it, just the fact that you are aware. And I just like, it sounds so simple, but it was like one of those moments where it's like start clicking, like, what is aware? Like, what part of me is aware? And so then I was just like, wow, so that's what it's all about. Like, it's just literally not even deciding things. It's just the fact that I am aware of things. And so that started then me, because I was always questioning, but this really started me realizing that there's a part of me that is able to do anything, is the point. Which then started to open the world up to me, as in, like, I was holding myself back. Or, like, let's say the egos that were implanted into me through culture, let's say, which were useful in the culture, were also limiting my ability to see other things. And so, yeah, that was a transformational moment. Then, okay, university finishes. I'm like, fuck, what the fuck now? I don't have free money anymore from the government. I have to go out into the world now. I'm not going to be an engineer. I know this. I'm not going to fucking work a normal job. And I had saved money from this time. And then my friend, who was also, I went to study with in the TAFE, he just bought a house. And he was going into the standard way, you know, like, he was an engineer, succeeded, finished the course, found an engineering job, has a good woman or partner that he's been with for a long time, wanted to stable, start the family, got a house. In Australia, you have to get a loan, basically, unless you're super rich, like I said, very expensive, which happened to have a second level underneath, which was a perfectly encapsulated apartment with its own bathroom, its own kitchen. And so then I was like, oh, can I move in with you? I'll pay rent and I'll live in the bottom. And we'll separate our lives as much as possible, but we're friends, so we can hang out and smoke spliffs. Because I was, that's a big theme in my life, smoking spliffs. So in this moment, I was completely disillusioned with everything. I came to the conclusion that no matter what I do, no matter what I do, like literally anything that I do contributes to what I saw at the time as the problem, society, Babylon, as consumerism. All the negatives that I thought or logically perceived to be driving humanity into a negative place or causing conflict and all this kind of thing, I found that I could not find a way to contribute or act even in the world without being a part of the problem. Even if I buy organic, there's still plastic fucking wrapped around that thing. No matter what job I do, it requires me to interact with the financial system, which is the limiting factor for a lot of people, which is secret, you know. So I got into a stage in which I was, for most people would be a depression. I was playing a lot of video games, smoking shitload of ganja, and basically online all the time, hardly sleeping, looking for something online, just as deep as I can go, finding out what the fuck, how the fuck can I get the fuck out of here, or how can I do something in which I'm not a part of the problem. And I was going through what some people, I found it online, what is called the darkest night of the soul. It's an idea, a theme of where a lot of you go through what is considered like the lowest point. There's many terms for this, but I like this darkest night of the soul. I like this image. And so I was like, fuck yeah, that speaks to me. That's it. That's what's happening right now. And my relationship, I had a long and steady relationship with a girl. She was great, but it was part of the problem. My friendships, they were fucking amazing. They're amazing people, but they're just like, they're plugged in to the matrix, you know, like, and they're sucking me into the matrix, and I need to find new people who have experienced other things that can just fucking get me out of this situation in which I felt like I was just fucking the world. This is my mother, you know, and all this kind of thing, that I, no matter what I did, even if I had good intention, even if I was found a way to be great, if I was in this place, in the city, I was being a part of the problem. Mm-hmm. So nothing could save me. So I was paying rent and I was randomly looking for work. I was delivering phone books. Like, I borrowed a van from a friend. It was a pickup fucking van. And I was driving phone books to neighborhoods and putting the phone book in their house, and the people would be like, what the fuck, are there still phone books? Yeah. Like, there's the internet, who the fuck needs a phone book? Why are you killing trees? You know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, you, no matter what you do, you're a part of the problem. So that was so fucking depressing, oh my god. And slowly breaking, my egos were dying. All my conceptions about what is real, what is necessary, what has to be, is die. And I felt like I was dying. Dark night of the soul. Like, all that was left was the soul. Everything else, all the egos that were keeping me alive or keeping me interacting with the society, were dying. That's how I felt. Psychedelics, stuff like this, like mushrooms and stuff, random insights, and slowly meeting people who did have out of my, let's say, parallel dimension. Like, they were in different dimensions, you know what I mean? Like, they were in the same reality, but they had different perspectives, where I would be like hunger. Like, I'd be hungry to hear them. They'd be like, oh, you know, travel. And I'm like, ah, dying to travel again. Anyway, so slowly running out of money, being conscious of running out of money, not trying to make more money, knowing how the system works. If you don't make money and you're paying rent, you're losing money. Eventually you're going to hit zero. Knowing I'm about to hit zero and accepting it, just accepting it, just being like, let's see what fucking happens. Let's see what happens if I just run out of money. Do I just die? Like, before I thought I would. I really mm-hmm. thought I would just become homeless or something and really just struggle. Or I'd be a big part, a burden to other people, which is really dirty for me. Like, I really, really hated this feeling of being a burden to people. That, like, I know that my mother would give me money, say. But then I was the type that I would never tell her about my problems because I know she would do this. And I didn't want to feel guilty. So I'd be the type of person, I was preparing myself for choosing homelessness.
Okay, and how does it feel? Because I can imagine this is going to be the nightmare of a lot of people.
Yes.
And they would like choose anything before becoming homeless, like picking every kind of shitty job or doing pretty much everything. Example, like driving around phone books.
Yes.
Just not to become homeless. And you was like, okay, I don't want to do this kind of stuff anymore, like any kind. And
anything.
And we are just going to see what would happen when I really don't do nothing.
When I hit zero money.
When I hit zero.
That
zero
was money. My okay. marker.
Okay.
Because I don't believe in doing nothing.
Okay, yeah.
That's not possible, actually. In reality, there's nothing, there's no thing that is nothing. You wouldn't be able to perceive it. It's one of these paradoxical, or not even paradox, it's like it's a misconception. So humans just use this nothing too easily.
Okay, but then what happened when you really hit like this point zero, when it was really running out of nothing and it feels literally like, okay, usually when I would die like this, what happened then?
Okay, well, leading up to it, it felt like dying.
Yes.
It wasn't easy for me.
Yes.
I made the conscious decision. Maybe some people might think it was just because I was too lazy.
Okay.
But really, it was actually, I was the most active in this moment, but just internally. And I was just like, okay, I have to see. If I run out of money, do I just die?
Okay. And?
And I've died, basically. Like,
yeah.
I was dying. Then, okay, so I'm running out of, and I don't want to, I'm living in my friend's house,
yeah.
right? And so it just naturally came to a point where there was a bit of friction in the house. So it was kind of like, okay, we want you to leave the house. And then I was like, okay, I don't even have enough money to pay the rent anyway. So good.
Okay.
You know, nice and clean, we can stay friends.
Okay.
You know, and so then, okay, so now I'm homeless, you know,
okay.
but not homeless. I'm still scared, you know? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go live with my mother, you know, like for a little bit. But not really. Like, I did a lot of research. Like, you know, my partner now, she inspired me, or at least bring to my awareness that there is such a thing called woofing or exchanging.
Okay.
And so I always had this in the back of my mind, but I never had the courage to do it.
So your partner, it was just a girl what you have met there?
I met in Europe, in that Europe part, in between
okay.
the study, years ago, 10 years ago.
Okay.
It was about 6 years by then.
Okay.
Difference. And I never acted on this knowledge.
Yes.
And so I'm like, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, you can exchange food and accommodation for work, and you get to learn. And this was what all, like, the only way I could see not being a part of the problem is making food.
Okay.
So then, okay, permaculture, beautiful. That's all about growing food holistically. You don't have to have money. So that was like, I was doing a lot of research.
Okay, and you was feeling, oh, well, this was a very good system, but you didn't have the courage to do it.
So not yet.
No, not yet. So, yeah. so the thing what you've done is like you really pushed yourself in the situation to a
yes,
point
exactly.
where there is no other way
yes.
than to
no
do
more
this.
Excuses.
Yes.
I've got no money.
Okay.
There's no comfort anymore. There's no way I can sit in my apartment and play video games and smoke ganja
yeah.
indefinitely without money.
Okay.
So now money's gone. And I have to move. I have to fucking do something. So I can tell you now the moment. The moment is I'm leaving the apartment. I'm in my mother's house maybe 2 days. And I don't have internet. Oh, my mother has an iPad. And I'm on the iPad sending an email to what it's called Zaytuna Farm or the Permaculture Research Institute. Run by someone famous in the permaculture scene, Jeff Lawton. He's like a guru of permaculture.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is my last hope. This is it. And so this email is like intense, you know, like I'm writing this fucking email like it's going to save my life.
Yeah.
Basically. Send the email. I'm waiting a few days and I remember I borrowed my sister's car or something like this and I was driving to meet a friend, smoke some spliffs and chill out or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I had lost my license. My license ran out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like officially. And I got stopped by cops. And the cops were, I got, you know, they were like, where's your license? It ran out. And that was it for me. I was like, okay, I'm officially fucking done with Melbourne and the city. This is the sign. This is the city telling me, get the fuck out of here. But I hadn't received the email yet. So, you know, so like, I'm like, okay, this is it. Officially, I've officially inside myself, internalized, accepted the fact that I'm leaving no matter what. One way or another. But actually, in that time, the options were, it was this Permaculture Research Institute or homelessness. Okay. I'm not living in my mother's house. I'm getting out of, if I have to hit the street and just be homeless, fine, that's another perspective I need to see, just to see. Because I'm a curious person. So those were my two options. And I was really depressed in this moment. Like I was really, it was really the last straw. So then, okay, went, visited my friend, came back. No, my mother's boyfriend at the time came and picked me up. And he's a heavy person, you've met him. And he's like, oh, you fucking idiot, blah, blah, blah. And it's whatever, you know, like whatever. He's a self-made man. But he's really about, you know, he grew up in a certain time. You make fucking money. You use all your effort to make the money. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Even if you have to do crime, it doesn't fucking matter. The point is you just use your effort. This is the system. Just do it. Just beat the system. That was his idea. Whereas me, I was looking a way out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
Get back home. Drama, you know, because of this. But it was okay. It wasn't like a big deal. You know, I wasn't going to jail or it wasn't that big a fine. But I had no money. So anyway. Okay. I think 2 days pass and, you know, every day I'm checking the email and it's there, you know, inbox. Yeah, come, no problem. You know, like, I'm not going to be homeless, yay. Because I'm still afraid, you know, like, I don't want to fucking be sleeping on the street, you know what I mean? Like, even in this moment, as you know, later on, there's ways. Yes. And I've found amazing ways to be homeless. But at the time, I was still very much afraid of being homeless. And so this was the universe, thank you. Thank you. Send a post on Facebook. Anyone who gives a shit, I'm about to leave. You know, if you want, meet me at this bar in the city and let's just have a nice goodbye.
Okay.
And it was beautiful. Lots of people came. I didn't expect, you know, because, you know, when you're in depressed mode, you just always see the negative.
Yeah.
Or doubt. Lots of people came. They were so supportive and like, yeah, you know, you're not for this place, bro. You know, like you're too crazy for this. You know, you got to get the fuck out of here. You know.
And haven't there been not a few people, a few friends of yours who said, Daniel, what you are doing here is totally crazy. Just get a job.
Well, it's hard because I've always been crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so like for them, they knew that this was like just me, just being crazy. But people often project. So often the case is like, fuck, that's crazy, bro. You know, just because it's crazy for them. So they would say something like that, but they know that I'm crazy. So then they just be like, yeah, that's fucking crazy, but yeah, I'm glad you're doing it. Yeah. I'm glad you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't fucking do that. And so that was nice. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, things are starting to move. Everything's clicking. All my friends are like, yeah, fuck yeah. We're going to miss you, bro, because I'm the type. I was always the type that you could call any fucking time of the day. Doesn't matter. 3 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter. Mm. Bro, let's meet somewhere and I just need to talk.
Yeah.
And I'd be there, you know, I'll be there. So for a lot of my little group of friends, I guess for them, it was disappointing to lose that because that's rare, I think. And so, but they were like, yeah, bro, you're dying here, you know, so you need to get the fuck out of here. You need to do this because we can see, you know, you're not doing anything, you know, you're just dying. So that was beautiful. That was really special. And that would, I would say, that just receiving that email and going for that coffee with all my friends, and directly from that bar, I went on the train to go on my adventure.
Oh, wow.
My mother, bless her soul, gave me $1,000 and was like, okay, do it.
Okay.
That was also a blessing.
Yeah, because she was making all the effort that you just can go to university, and she was like, "Okay, mom, I've done it, and yeah, it's not my thing."
It's not. I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to grow food. You grew on a farm. You guys made your own food. You made so much food that you could sell it.
Yeah.
And in one generation, I've lost that information. You know. And what do we have? You know, I don't know. You know, you work every day of your life as a cleaning lady, you know, like she's a very stoic person though. And she's I never saw her in this time frustrated or taking out her life frustration on us.
Mm-hmm.
Like just being like upset when she came home. Like she would clean a hospital all day. She would complain about it. She was always whinging about it, like complaining. But she never was like bringing like direct negativity to us or pointing that negativity to us. It's like she was amazing, strong person. And I was like, yeah, I need that. Yeah, you gave me so much. You made sure that I had enough food. You made sure I could go to university. The house was always clean, beautiful garden. But you don't understand, because of your adversity, you became this strong person. I'm becoming a weak, useless person. Even if I make money as an engineer, I'm going to have all sorts of fucking psychological issues. You know what I mean? Like, I'm weak. I need to go out in the world and do something real and experience difficulty, real difficulty, hunger, to be able to... And this is like how I was talking, you know? Like, I was like really passionate because I felt like I was dying, suffocating.
Yeah.
And she got it, you know? Or she didn't really get it, but she was like... loved me enough to be like, okay, I can see that you fucking need to do this.
Yeah, I think you just said now a very interesting thing, like a very big issue about our society that nobody have ever experienced, or lots of people never experienced, like really like suffer or danger or something like this. Because if you want, you can just manage your life in our society without having any really proper issues, like just going to your job and stuff like this, and just working from 9 to 5, and then you have like a very relaxed life, but you've never faced any really issues, and you never get to the chance to really you really grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or face adversity that is growth.
Yeah.
You need to fail in order to learn something new. Change is the death. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's inevitable. It's constantly happening, but it's very easy sometimes to feel like no change is happening. This is the nothing concept. But it's very easy to fall into this a groove or a rhythm or a pattern that you put all your energy in order to sustain because it's comfortable. But I would like to say what you're saying about how people don't ever face adversity. The thing I believe is relativism, relativity or relationism, that even if you don't have never been raped, you've never been attacked, you've never been robbed, you've never been homeless, the dark side or negativity, or it's always in our lives. Yeah. So the monotony of life, the fact that, you know, you're eating yourself to death, these are real hardships.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you, like, for you, you're a rich person. I used to hate rich people. I used to hate money. And it was a big thing for me. And so anyone, money or power or influence, I always used to just automatically feel like they're the enemy. But then I started, you know, through life and experience, realizing that everyone is suffering. Everyone is suffering. You're rich, meaning you have now more responsibility, meaning now you have to pay people. And if your business fails, then tens to hundreds to thousands of people suffer. And even if you're a hardcore capitalist and you don't give a fuck, you hide your emotions, that affects you because you're a soul. Even if you bury it, you can never bury something fully. It comes, it attacks you, it attacks your core, it becomes a part of your ego. The fact that you start to now close yourself off emotionally, that's a pain. That's a real pain. It really is a horrible way to live. So, you know, like I started to realize through, you know, life experience that it's all relative, you know? So like even if you never was raped or even if you've never been homeless, you're suffering. The point is not to avoid suffering. The point is to just accept the fact that things are hard. Change the fucking word. Don't call it suffering. It's just challenging. Then you're like doing something. You're learning a new math thing. It's challenging. You could easily say, I'm suffering. Many people suffer in maths classes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But don't suffer. Don't challenge yourself. And you're missing a big part of the world is mathematical. You know what I mean? You don't have to become a mathematical genius, but maths is a big part of the world. You know, like there's a lot of concepts in maths, even basic ones, that really help deal with normal things, other things.
Yeah. Let's go back to the situation. So you've just had a nice goodbye to all your friends.
Yes.
And you just jumped into the train to go to the
Straight park. Into the train. A little bit drunk.
And how was it? How was the feeling?
Good. Super on a high because of all the love I got from my friends.
Yeah.
And I think I'd like to really highlight that, like, first of all, thank universe, thanks all my friends, my mother, my sister, even she's a big influence in my life, for being supportive.
Yeah,
because that makes a fucking world of difference. And so if there's a message, you've got a friend who's going through some shit and they got some crazy idea to change their life, fucking support them, unless it's killing babies or something, you know. Like, just fucking support them. You don't you be honest. Say, I wouldn't do this. That's difficult. That's not difficult. That's crazy to me.
Yeah.
But you need to do this. Please go do this, my good friend. I love you. Because a lot of people hold people back, not out of even the fact that, I'm scared you're going to damage your life. It's out of the fact that what am I going to do without you?
Yeah.
So that's very selfish. And I don't like this, you know, you know, if you love your friend, it's the old saying, if you love it, let it go.
Yeah.
If it comes back, then you know it's true love.
Yeah.
So I'm on the train. I'm like, what the fuck? Where the fuck? I don't know. I'm not that type of person. I don't know. I was kind of just like a little bit tipsy, feeling high because of ganja probably, but also because of the love, and just like excited.
Yeah.
No, actually, yeah, I would say excited. Like, once I got the email, I knew I was out. So I was like, from that point on, everything changed, actually. Just getting the email.
Mm-hmm.
That point on, weirdly enough, the city became beautiful again. Then I was actually, like, you know, I had a few days before this cafe before preparing myself to go. And I remember walking around and just being free and actually then really enjoying the city again and being like, okay, I've made my decision. I know what's going to happen. Or I know that I've made a decision at least, because I think that was the why I was dying the most. And then, yeah, feeling good. So adventure time. And I'm the one. Okay, something crazy new I've never experienced. I have no idea who I'm going to meet. I have no idea where I'm going. I have no idea what the fuck's going to happen. That's my element. That's when I'm the most happy, actually.
I think this is a very root of suffering, that people have like these feelings that they are living just the day to day life. They have the illusion like they know what is going to be in the next week. And this is
next year, next five years.
And this is for me like one of the really very worst feelings what you can have. Yeah. For me, I'm not so afraid about this super dark nights of the soul, because they come and then they are very intense and stuff like this.
Yeah,
and
when
then
you're in it, it's intense.
It's pretty intense and they can let go. But I think this feeling of, yeah, everything is nice, but also not so exciting, maybe a little bit boring, they are much more dangerous, because in this state of mind, you can waste like years. You can waste like a whole lifetime.
Yeah.
And this is like, for me, really, really suffering. This is for me a thing what I'm really afraid of when I just realized it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would resonate with that idea as well. Yeah. So, yeah, on the train, it's a long train ride. It's Australia is a big country. I'm going from Melbourne to near Byron Bay.
Yeah.
Just for people, Byron Bay is quite easy. It's the actual place is called The Shannon. It's like this crazy little, cute little, village, town.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of alternative farming, but just, I don't know. The whole fucking area is very alternative.
Yeah.
Beautiful subtropical climate. And I didn't know at the time. And it was so good. It was so good. Like, when you're on the train, it's just kind of train and you get a little bit of, like, the outback. But the outback is desolate. It's horrible. And then you get, like, a little bit of ocean views. So the train ride was kind of nice, but not really. And you're always going through cities. But then you get to the Shannon, and I remember actually they were doing road work or construction on the train line. So I had to get off earlier and go on a bus. And then you're going through the countryside, and I was like, oh, green mountains and beautiful trees everywhere, like color. I remember, I think it was spring. And I remember there's a special tree. This was a transformative moment for me too. There's a tree called the jacaranda tree. And it's this beautiful purple flower. But the whole tree goes purple. And you get like this green. And Australia doesn't get winter. And we don't get autumn. So you don't get that color like that. And it's always green, basically. But then you get like this beautiful fucking purple all of a sudden. And I'm just being like inspired by, you know, color and nature. And I'm super excited. I'm just like, okay. But then I'm getting closer to the place.
Okay.
Meaning action time.
Okay.
You know, meaning, okay. And because it's a scenario I've never faced before, my old programming kicks in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you know, you're gonna have to be a good worker. You're gonna have to charm people. You're gonna have to interact, you know, like all these kind of things. Like, how are you gonna approach this? Like, what is your plan? Mm. And I'm like, plan? I got here, didn't I? That was the plan. I bought the ticket. That was it. You know, and my mind is like, you fucking idiot. You know, you're gonna fucking die out here or something. You know, like, you're fucked. And so, okay, the bus, and then I catch a smaller bus. And then I'm getting closer to the place, and it's getting more rural, and I'm like, ooh, this is nice, but what about the place? You know, how is it going to be? Do they have enough food for me? Can I, you know, like, what's the accommodation like? I knew that they give you a lot of information, before you go, but it's not the same, right?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, of course.
Like, hearing about a place is never the same as being in the place.
Yeah.
And I remember I rocked up. I remember I arrived at the final stop at like, I don't know, what was it? It's like 3 o'clock in the morning or something. It was crazy.
Okay.
And so I had to wait on a bench for like 3 hours before the first bus came to get me to go somewhere.
Okay.
And I remember sitting across, there was this pie truck, you know, like pies, like food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't open.
Yeah.
And it opens at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I was just like, like just waiting for this fucking pie truck to open.
Yeah.
And then it finally opens and then the bus is there and I'm like, quickly get a pie. And then I'm like, nom, nom, nom.
Yeah.
On the bus. Okay, I'm a little bit more calm. I've got some food in me.
Yeah.
It was a great pie.
Yeah.
And I'm on the bus and then, okay, this is really now, I'm getting there. And so I'm arriving at the community, at the Permaculture Research Institute. Okay. It's got a big name, especially online.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially at the time. Little side note, it's important, I feel. The reason why this place, for me, I saw this video, he posts a lot of videos.
Mm.
And I saw this video where it was 10 years progression in 10 minutes. Like the video goes for 10 minutes and he shows how permaculture can transform this, say like this grass, into a food forest in 10 years. And it's a genius film. He did it in squares and he actually does it so like, he did the first square 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then he does a square each year until he gets to the first step, like grass. And so you actually see in the same video, in the same shot, you see what it looks like, how 10 years changes an area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's genius. Like if he can do that, if he can transform grass or just shrub to food, fruit and fruit trees and all this beautiful, I was like, okay, I need to learn off this guy.
Mm.
Using animal tractors, all the concepts of permaculture that I eventually learned. And so that's what really attracted to me to this guy. I had never read the permaculture handbook. I never knew anything other than this video.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is the guy. I need to learn off this guy. It's that whole, I think when people are lost, we search for a guru or we search for a master, like in the old martial art way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking for a master. And plus, you know, my father left when I was 10 years old. So I had these kind of daddy complexes, looking for a strong male role model to, you know, and that was a big deal for me as well. Part of my depression as well. Like how to be a man in this fucking modern day. Because all my role models were female, strong females, and they were great. Like my mother, my sister, and yeah, I never really got on to following people online.
Okay, okay. And then what's happened on this fruit farm or on this permaculture farm?
Okay, so it's 6 o'clock. I'm off the bus,
yeah.
And it's a fucking, in this town, there's only one pub.
Yeah.
That's it. There's one, it's a bar and a little convenience store up the hill. And so the pub is where everyone gets together and stuff. Anyway, I walk in the pub. How do I get to this place? They're like, oh, you just walk it, turn left, and then, you know, walk down that street a little bit more and turn left and you'll see it. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and then I'm like, I'm walking down the street, you know, like going to this place and really like, oh, I don't know, probably a billion thoughts are going through my mind at this time.
Yeah.
But it's 6 o'clock in the morning. I think it was even earlier than that. I don't know. It was really early.
Yeah.
And I come into the... And I have this thing, I think a lot of people have, is, you know, like walking into a property.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about this. Like if you see a fence,
yeah,
to enter the fence without knowing the people in there, there's like a barrier.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, okay, first barrier. And I'm like, ooh, you know, is this the place? What do I think about it? It's like this big metal shed kind of close to the entrance. And then it goes down and you can't really see the rest of the farm. I'm like, oh, where do I even go? actually. Yeah. Like, what do? I don't know, actually. There's no bell. It's a country house.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's no house. It's just a big shed.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I guess I just go to the shed. And I walk into the shed, and there's no one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello? Hello? You know, like, anyone there? And then all of a sudden, a door opens.
Yeah.
And this, like, this, I don't know, maybe 40 years old, Australian, just opens the door and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, like,
yeah.
Like literally like this. Like, well, who the fuck are you? Like, what the fuck are you doing here? I'm like, I'm like the new volunteer. He's like, bro. Like, not bro. Man, it's too early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too early. Fucking go to sleep or something.
Yeah.
And then he just closes the door. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. You know, so then I'm like, it's like, smoke a spliff and lie on a couch.
Yeah.
And just like nap, I think.
Okay.
Eventually, then the action starts to happen in the place, and then the people start coming around, like people start walking around, and I'm like, oh, there's people around. Get ready, you know.
Yeah.
And the Salah. Salah was the volunteer coordinator.
Okay.
Walks in. No. The girl who runs the reception.
Okay.
Who's the one who emailed me.
Okay.
Such a beautiful. Beautiful, attractive, but also beautiful soul.
Yeah.
And I was instantly in love with her. You know, yeah. Like, oh. And yeah, she was like, oh, hey, new volunteer, nice. And I was like, oh, finally, you know, someone who appreciates my presence, you know, like, because this guy, in the end, he's a character.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
He's later in the story. But yeah, she was like, okay, nice, you know, and then calls down to the house, okay, the new volunteer's here, you know, come, you know, and then, okay, Salah, the coordinator comes. And he's like, okay, welcome. And then you have the visit of the farm, you know, you see what the fuck you're dealing with. They have like these little metal frames in like a kind of grassy area, and where the whole idea, the concept was you earth build your own shelter.
Okay.
On these frames. And that was also a big draw for me. I was like, yeah, earth building. In the end, it's bullshit. But anyway, yeah, so there's a few of these platforms and yeah, you know, you're nervous, but you're super excited.
Yeah.
It's this. This is where I fit into the world. Nervous/excited. I think you can't separate the two for me personally. You know, like anytime I'm excited, I'm also nervous at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's this. It's this mixture. And then, you know, okay. Okay, I'm here. Nice. I got a little bit of ganja with me still. You know, I'll find ganja somewhere, I'm sure. Because that was always an important thing for me, to make sure I always had some ganja on me. That was my only concern.
Okay.
Okay, you know, they've got work for me to do. They've got food. I've got my tent. And there's a place to stay. It's nice. It's got like a roof as well. So you're not getting directly rained on. And, you know, you begin. Set up your tent. Okay. And then you come for lunch. You don't work the first day.
Mm.
And you just kind of, yeah, you know, you're starting to get the vibe. Who are the people? They're all volunteers except for Salah, who's there 3 years. Beautiful, big Jordanian man.
Mm.
Very, like, the beard like you.
Very, I talk very loud. Hey, you, you come here and dig this hole.
You know, like, Middle Eastern, very strong character, but sweetheart, you know, like those big people who are actually really like little girls or something like that inside, you know, like really sweet, nice people. But he's really intimidating, you know, like his voice is very. And then the other volunteers, for me, I see myself as equal to them. So I wasn't intimidated by them.
Okay.
And yeah.
And then what happened there in this permaculture? So what was for you then the big learning. So you thought, okay, now I finally can escape. No, I finally got a place. So I finally, you finally got there, and then how does it feel? Was it like satisfying for you? Was like, okay,
it was a dramatic change of my life, which okay. I think is what I needed, which what I was searching for. It was, I was smoking ganja every day, online most of the day, playing games a lot,
yeah,
not sleeping. I would often go to sleep when the sun rise.
Yeah.
Two, waking up at 6:30 in the morning, start work. 6:30 in the morning, start work.
Wow.
2 hours of work, then breakfast. It's a strict place. Then, that's about half an hour breakfast or an hour breakfast. Then back out there until 12, lunch, 1 hour, back out there until 3 or 5, I don't know. And then dinner, and then, and you're still doing shit after that, because it's farm life. Animals need presence. Yeah, animals need... chickens can't put themselves back in the coop. You have to close it for them.
Yeah.
And it's not a big job. It's actually quite nice.
Yeah.
But it's still a responsibility. You have to do it every day. Otherwise, the fucking chickens get killed.
Yeah.
Cows need to be released into the paddocks.
Yeah.
That's a after work job.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's really full life change, full new way of living, full different scenario. I was like, yes, because I love this, learning something new, being somewhere else.
Yeah.
So yeah, I took it. I hit the floor running. I was just like, and I was like full of energy, full of all that trapped energy, all that frustration and anger and all the not knowing what to do. It all got like started to channel into work.
Okay.
And it was beautiful, like physical work, especially for me. I'm a physical person, but you know, I got trapped in the city lifestyle, which is really limiting to physical. It doesn't have to be. You can go gym and shit, but I hate fucking gyms. And
yeah.
So it was like, boom, this is the place. I'm here. Life is beautiful. And I was like, he was like, go pick up the cow shit. I'm doing it, and I'm doing it full power.
Okay.
You know, go to, like, you know, waking up 6:30, I'm still slow, you know, but it's nice work. And it's 6:30, you wake up and you just weed the beds and you can go slow. You're there with everyone else and you're just like picking the plants and you're learning every day. Oh, this is what a potato plant looks like. This is what a carrot looks like. And, oh, but what is this? Oh, that's a weed. Just pick that. Okay, nice. And you know, like every day was a new plant you're learning every day. And then it's even the weeds. You're like, oh, what is this weed? Oh, it's a nightshade. You know, witches used to use this and they used to rub it on a broom and shove it in their pussy. And then they would trip balls on it. You know, like that's where witches come from.
Okay.
You know, like the idea of witches riding brooms.
Oh, I see.
You know, it came from the fact that they used to trip balls on this fucking nightshade.
Oh, interesting.
By shoving it in the pool. I don't know, like, it's probably bullshit, but whatever. It's just like, oh, well. And that's a family of the tomato.
Okay.
So it's like, oh, interesting. You know, stuff like this.
Nice.
Every day was a revelation. Every day was something new. It was beautiful. But yeah, so in the morning, it's just weeding, and then you have a breakfast, and you're like, nom, 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 nom.
What was it like if someone told you when you was like in the what have it been for you when you was like in the middle of the night back there in Melbourne back in the days, and then someone was came to you and say like, you know, Daniel, in a few months you were working on a farm, was getting up at 6-ish in the morning and working like all day and stuff like this, what would you think of or thought of?
This is what could, because I do this to myself.
Yeah,
I've got like split personality. I think everyone does. And I've got an internal fucking voice that's a dowdy motherfucker who's always like pushing me, you know, like everything I want to do, he's like, are you sure you can do that? And this is what I'm saying, like in this time, I'm doing research.
Okay.
I'm not just playing games and just like distracting myself. A lot is this, but a lot is research. So I knew their schedule. They advertise it. So actually that was a big part of the doubt. It's
okay,
like,
I see.
Can I even do this?
Yeah.
I had a lot of doubt. Like I was like, fuck, can I actually, am I actually physically fit enough to do this work?
Mm-hmm.
Can I wake up even at 6:30? I've never done that in my entire life. You know what I mean? Can I work and physical work all day long, every day of the week?
Yeah.
They have a schedule. It's every day. On the weekends, 2 days, you just do animal work. You don't do all the labor during the day. But you are responsible for your own food on the weekend. But you're allowed to pick up any food and cook yourself from the farm. So you never go hungry. But they have a cook there. So during the weekdays, your food is cooked for you. But on the weekends, you have to cook your own food, but you can harvest anything you want. And they, if you want to talk about abundance, this farm is fucking abundant. You know, it was like, there's no way you could eat all the food.
Mm.
It was constantly producing. It was very efficient. It was the pinnacle of permaculture. But anyway, I don't know how deep you want to go into it. There's always a flaw.
Of course. But then what happened next? So how long have you stayed in this permaculture farm? Roughly.
So I arrived just after winter, which is in the southern hemisphere, is the middle of the year.
Yeah.
It's not the same here. And so it's getting into spring. And I would stay until December, and then Christmas is coming, and my mother is like, you're coming home for fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm like, oh, and by this time, I'm like, yeah, I would like to see family, because it's been a few months.
Okay.
So then I'm going back to Melbourne for Christmas.
Okay.
Then, you know, beautiful, and then it was beautiful too, like being back in Melbourne with this, like, new eyes.
Okay.
That was the start of this, like seeing my city from a different perspective with new eyes. This was the beginning of my transformation.
Okay.
Realizing the parallel dimensions of our lives. Like right here, I perceive this world. Right here, you're perceiving different world. Right here, there's people in all these houses perceiving a completely different scenario right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that was the beginning of that. But yeah, so then I went back, and then a couple of days, and then I'm back, I think after New Year's, to the farm.
Okay.
Then I'm there for, I think in total it was like 9 months.
Okay. Yeah.
So it was about a year.
Okay, beautiful. And then after farm, so you've was there a point where you get like, okay, now I have there enough and I would like to carry on, or?
Yes.
How was it? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 for sure. Then it's like the old tricks, you know, like it's the mind's constantly like, it doesn't matter. Like then it's like, okay, now I've got into another rhythm.
Okay.
And now, okay, I feel stagnant again.
Okay.
And now I need to push myself. There's even deeper places I can, or different parallel dimensions I can enter. A big part was a lot of the this when I got there, it was so easy to make a family unit with all the other travelers. We're all there for the same reason. We're all open, and it was very easy for us to connect. There's always difficulties, but for the most part, everyone that came was like, automatically, and then it was like saying goodbye to people, saying goodbye to family. And this is like the best kind of family, because they're chosen family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's not like, you know, like blood family. It's like, no, I really like this person, or at least I really like this person now. Okay, you know what I mean? Because we're all in this beautiful environment together. And so family units would, and then after two of these cycles, it was heartbreaking. It was emotionally a lot to say goodbye now to a second full family, and I'm still there.
Yeah.
And really close, really big brothers and sisters that I made connections with are leaving and going off on their travels. And I'm like, oh, I'm jealous, you know, I want to explore more. But also I'm like, oh, you know, now I have to make a whole new fucking family. And being just like, okay, a lot of people are going. And okay, so I'm feeling a little bit stagnant, and I'm feeling the energy here maybe not working to my advantage, or I feel like I'm not learning or expanding anymore. And so that old programming kicks in of my fear of rhythm, fear of stagnation.
Yes, yeah.
Which is a negative in its own way, for sure. Like, people who can stay dedicated no matter how hard or how boring something is, I appreciate that. I appreciate those people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should necessarily have to always change your scene in order to expand yourself. I think actually sticking through really hard, boring times and breaking through, even if it takes 20 years, is something worthwhile, if you're that type of person.
Mm.
But I'm not. I'm the type as soon as it gets, I'm free.
Okay.
I'm the most comfortable in awkward, exciting situations.
Mm-hmm.
That's me, for whatever reason.
Okay.
So I need to keep doing this. So it's coming there. I also had visited in the time of being in the Permaculture Research Institute. I traveled around.
Yeah, yeah.
Came across another community called Starseed. Amazing place. Much more free, but completely different. They try to do permaculture, but it's they're not focused, and they're not strict like the Permaculture Institute. I think it was perfect for me because this was like I needed to be deprogrammed. I needed to have a new programming. And in order to learn a new programming, you need to be strict at the start. You need to break the pattern, and it needs to be, you need people to push you, or you need to be able to push yourself. And so waking up 6 o'clock every morning, I changed physically, dramatically, my diet changed. I learned so much about myself and about how I want to live my life and the techniques. But I knew I'm not a strict person. I don't want to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning every day. You know what I mean?
So it was for you okay for a certain time
transition
to time to really to break this old patterns, to be strict and have discipline and stuff like this, but then after this then you was like wishing to live like free again, or like spontaneously.
Yes, I think like it's our responsibility. Our life is our responsibility.
Yeah.
Yes, you can give your life to a guru who will tell you exactly what to do, and but you're not listening to the guru.
Yeah.
There's the guru, he's leading by example. He's not telling you what to do. You need to become the guru, which means that you need to be able to then not listen to someone and do what you fucking be yourself, actually. And do the thing yourself. So, yes, in times of transition, it's very good to ask for help. It's very good to seek a master. Break your fucking patterns. Allow someone to dictate to you that you trust or that you believe in, to dictate to you, you do, and you fucking do it. You just do it. You know, okay. You don't fucking complain. You don't go, oh, but I think you come with your old bullshit. The whole point is you're fucking trying to learn something new. You need to fucking listen. Once you get it, then you evolve it yourself, right? And that takes different time for different people. I'm not, like, even now, that was like ages ago, I wouldn't say I'm like a permaculture guru. But I've done enough physically and I've internalized a lot, and I can do it now. I know I can do the physical labor, even if I've been smoking or even if I've been lazy for half a year. Mm-hmm. I know that my body can transition.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's possible. And so I went with it. I had this new base.
Okay.
I deleted some old or overridden some old programming, had new programming, but I knew that this wasn't for me. I still wanted to... seek. I still wanted to see other ways, other patterns. So Starseed was another one. And I was always going there like as a friendly cat. I'd come and visit. It was a nice free place. I made some connections. One of the people I volunteered with had a friend who was living there. And so that's it. He would take me, visit his friend, and then I would get to visit this community and meet all their people and be all like, ooh, this place is cool too. And so then, okay, and then I would always visit them, and then they told me about another place, which was just down the road, called Byron Yoga Studio. I don't know, something like that. Byron Yoga something.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that? Anyway, and so they had a similar program. Exchange for free yoga every day and free food. Or not free food, exchange.
Exchange, yeah.
Exchange labor, gardening for food and yoga every day. Mandatory yoga. You have to do the yoga. You cannot smoke on the place, anywhere on the place. You can go, you have to go to the street to smoke if you want to smoke. Cannot drink alcohol. I was never a big drinker. It wasn't a big deal, but smoking was a big deal. And I cheated a lot. anyway. Yeah, Byron Yoga Center. So that was even then now a big change. But and then they're like trying to sell it to me. Ah, bro, because I was complaining, you know, oh, I don't know, I want to change the place. Bro, this place is like 90% hot yoga chicks. They got great food, like Ayurveda food, all like healthy Ayurveda food. You get free yoga and, you know, you're close to us. You can come visit us all the time. Ooh, you know, that sounds perfect. And best thing, well, best thing. Anyway, there was a guy running the volunteer situation at the Byron Yoga Center that I had exchanged with at the Byron at the Permaculture Research Institute. So I was already connected. So they took me. His name was Dan, and this, what a character. Anyway, he got kicked out of the Permaculture Research Institute for raging at somebody. Like, there was this beautiful Belgian man who was like, I don't know, 50, but he looked beautiful. Like, I don't know, like really young for 50, really healthy. He was a vegan. He was the first vegan I ever met in my entire life. And all these concepts, like veganism, was like, what the fuck is that? Like, you don't eat meat. What the fuck's wrong with you? Like, or not even that. It was extreme. It was like, you know, oh no, the animals, you know, and all this. Like, when you exploit animals, they exploit you. That's real. That's a real. I saw that in real life.
Have you there sometimes the thought like, when you're living this life. How was feeling then your life back then in Melbourne and yours when you was going to university and going and doing stuff like this? You've had there are sometimes moments of feeling, oh, maybe I'm going to Melbourne again, or was it like, no, I'm never going to visit this place or this lifestyle again?
Not maybe in order to keep myself going, but really I'm the type of person, once the decision's made, I don't give a, I only look back fondly. I only look back for memories, just to say, oh, that was nice, I did this. I never look back saying, you know, this situation now that I got myself in is horrible or scary, I can go back to that. I can never go back.
Okay.
I've never had this delusion, thankfully. I personally believe you can never go back.
Okay.
You can obviously go back, like physically to Melbourne, like I did many times, but you're a different person every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Melbourne's a different place every time. So when I'm doing something, especially if it's new, I'm full immersed. There is no rest of the world. There was only this farm. Like, that was the beauty of it, bro. No politics, no news, No car. No, no, the world is burning. No, no, yeah, no bullshit about what the fuck is wrong with the world. It was all about, this is how you compost. And by composting, you're regenerating the soil. And so then everything, this was the beauty of it for me. It was the opposite feeling.
So positive. So the people have been also much positive. They've been more interested like in doing stuff and building stuff than rather than complaining about their lives.
Yes, people still complain, but yes, much more, you know, I can do something. But also for me, what was big was that I felt like every action I was doing on this farm was a part of the solution. That was the big deal for me.
Okay.
Before I left, every thing I did, even drinking water out of a tap, I don't know, taking a shit. Because then I was thinking, the shit is going into the sewage and it's collecting and it's creating, you know, an issue with the, you know, like shit fucking collecting in one. So it's stuck in the Permaculture Research Institute. You're taking a shit in a compost toilet. It's going back into the soil. It's feeding plants. It's making, you know, everything felt, it was a complete opposite. Every single action I did felt like it was a part of the solution.
So you managed to make a very proper transformation about of your life and about of your situation. Before this, you was feeling like everything what you've done was like felt for you like a problem, and you've editing bad to the world. And now you felt like everything what you're doing, even just normal things like drinking water out of a tap, was feeling like you're doing something good for the world.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you just give just one of our listeners an advice? Maybe they are some of our listeners resonating with what you thought about. They are in the night of the life, or maybe they are just
darkest night
of
the soul,
or they are just right now a little bit bored, or maybe they are a little bit scared about, I would love also to do all this kind of stuff, to go to traveling or leaving my city, but I'm scared because of reasons. There are many reasons. So
yes.
Can you just give them a small advice how to start?
I mean, like, you know, the only thing is doing it. You know, okay. I want to give something nice though. Maybe I can give advice through explaining that I also felt this way, right? Mm. You know, like I, even though you maybe look now, you know, and maybe I'm charismatic to a level of which, you know, or the fact that I've already done it. So it's like, oh yeah, it's easy to talk about now.
Yeah.
At the time, you know, I'm freaking the fuck out. I feel like I'm literally dying.
Mm-hmm.
That is the process. That is the fucking process. There's no avoiding that. That's why you stay in your apartment. That's why you stay in your job. It's not bad. It's not bad. There's a reason you stay in that job. It is survival. But there is more to the world. And you're not such a fucking useless piece of shit like you think you are.
Mm.
Right? Like you're not. You're not. It's so easy to get a wrong impression that I think, you know, going through all these travels, I thought, you know, like it's because I loved myself that it was easy for me to make these decisions. I'm the biggest motherfucker to myself. Like I said, there's a voice inside me whose way is the most biggest asshole I've ever met. Really.
Okay.
Like I've never come across actually somebody who's such an asshole like this fucking voice inside my head, you know? So, you know, like you've got that too. You're human. It's fine. You know, like we're all fucking human. This is the thing. You're an individual. The world told you you're an individual. Your culture told you but you're not also. At the same time, embrace the paradox. Don't get caught up in other people's ideas of the world. You see the world just like everyone else sees the world. Your perspective is just as real as everyone else's, even the cows. It's just as real. So if you just need, if it's just about curiosity, do it. If it's your fucking dying, there's different levels, right? Like, you could literally be dying, I don't know, like medically, I don't know, something like this. Then that's nature kicking you in the fucking ass and you're gonna have to. This is the point. This is the fucking point. Advice. Do the change your own way. Make the choice before it's made for you.
Yeah, because otherwise it's going to be very painful.
It's going to be fucking painful. It's going to be so hard, and it's going to happen. Life fucking changes. It's the one law or something, I don't know, that I accept. It's the one law. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same forever. It's not possible. If you know anything about reality, if you're not stuck in loops inside your mind, it's not possible to have always... It's not possible. It's just not possible. Change is inevitable. It really is unavoidable. So you can either choose or you just let it happen. Sometimes, most of the changes in my life, I've let happen. Like I said with the zero, going to zero. You can say I was conscious, but... It wasn't that, like, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm preparing myself for zero.
Yeah, but because you don't know what is going to happen afterwards. I think when you was into this process, it was just literally feeling like dying. And then afterwards, it was like, oh, my gosh, I have no money right now, but I'm still alive.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Whoa, amazing.
What a surprise, yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful.
$1,000 help from my mother, for sure. But then that runs out.
Yeah.
And I was back on zero. Again, I've ever since that first time actually reaching zero money, like literally having no money in my hands and none in the bank, I've hit zero like multiple times.
Okay.
This is the point. So don't think also, this is a good advice as well. Maybe also don't delude yourself into thinking as long as you go all out into this new way of life, everything is solved. It's evolution. The very fact that we can do it in one life is amazing, because it's taken billions of years to get from single cell to humans. You know what I mean? Billions of years. Evolution is slow. The fact that we can evolve consciously in one lifetime is amazing. But it's still a process. It's still back and forth. It's a mathematical thing as well. If you learn some math, like, see, that's what I'm happy I went to university. I learned a lot of concepts which give me logical understandings of esoteric understandings, which is good. It's good to see things from lots of perspectives, not just like listen to a guru, but or not just like listen to scientists. Get both and realize they're both saying the same shit, actually, just with different words, you know? Which means then, okay, lots of different people using lots of different concepts are saying the same thing. Maybe there's something to this thing. And you're going to say it differently than everyone else says it too. So, okay, you know, that's just accept the unknown of the future. It's unknown, fucking. It's just, change is unknown. Like I was saying, the death is just preparing you for the real death. Which really no one fucking knows. No one can tell you what happens after death.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know? And so it's like these mini deaths somewhat prepare you for this big death, which is coming. It's unavoidable.
No matter what, yeah.
No matter what. Yeah.
Beautiful. Let's go slowly to the end of the interview. So thank you very much for your sharing. Is there maybe one last thing would you like to say, or maybe one last advice would you like to give?
No, not really. I don't know. Like, I mean, you gotta... Okay, maybe... you gotta find a way in order to be you, but also realize that you're a part of everything else. You have to learn to embrace paradox. Nothing is just one way. Nothing is good and bad. Not even that. Nothing is like... Or everything is, let's put it actually correctly, everything is good and bad. Everything is paradoxical in a way. You know, like, there's many examples. You know, any fucking duality you can choose. But I'm trying to be more precise. Like, what I'm trying to say is, you could say, you could easily convince yourself that something is not good for you or is good for somebody else.
Yeah.
Use your energy not to stop making mistakes. Use your energy to continue to make mistakes and accept that mistakes are change, active change. The fact that you're choosing to make the mistake rather than being forced by the outside world to change, because you have to change. If you want to listen to anything I fucking have to say, it's you have to change. There's no not changing in this world. It's not possible. The only thing, maybe if you want to go spiritual, the only thing that doesn't change is your soul. Yeah. Okay, maybe. Or the oneness that connects us all.
But who knows?
But yeah. Who gives a shit anyway? Everything else that's like worthwhile talking about is more or less change. Mm-hmm. And I would love to say, stop living somebody else's dream. Stop it. You can dream just like everyone else can dream. Start living your dream. You know what you want to do. Sometimes it's simple. It's like I just wanted to learn how to grow my own food. Humans know how to do this. We've been doing this for years. Some animals know how to cultivate food. Or they at least know how to get food from nature, from their fucking environment. Every animal does. So for me, that was it. And it's simple, actually, in the end. You plant the seed. And like now I'm making kombucha. I'm making my own vinegar. I'm making my own bread every 2 days. All these things, they're all actually very easy to do. It's all a scam. It's a scam to make you think that it's an art. It's not a fucking art. It's an art to make it beautiful, but it's not an art, or mass produce it, but it's not an art to do it.
Yeah, it's like what you're saying. It's in the end, to live an happy life, it's not that hard. Maybe we...
Well, it can be hard at moments.
It can be hard, yeah. but maybe the hardest thing is like that what we are just saying or thinking, it have to be complicated. That to
yes,
be
in order to be good.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's a very nice word to thing to come to an end. That yes. It maybe really less is more, and the life don't need to be that complicated or need to be that hard. You don't, the only thing what you need, or most of the times, is just like to be a little bit brave. And embrace the change.
Yeah, like, well, so for me, it's that, you know, you really, you just got to stop living somebody else's dream. Stop. Freedom comes with responsibility. There is no separation of that.
Yeah.
So if you want to be free, you got to be responsible for your actions. If maybe that's maybe more important than anything else I've said, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I would like that to be the last one.
Okay.
If you want to be free, you got to fucking be responsible for your actions.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, thank you very much for sharing, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks for the
wisdom.
Thanks for the opportunity to share.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Schön, dass du diese Folge bis ganz zum Schluss zugehört hast. Was waren da so deine wichtigsten Erkenntnisse gewesen? Sachen, wo du denkst, ja, das möchte ich vielleicht auch mal ausprobieren. Oder auch Dinge, wo du sagst, ja, das sehe ich da vielleicht ein bisschen anders. Lass uns da gerne darüber diskutieren. Ist das für dich so der richtige Weg? Was denkst du? Wirklich einfach mal wegzugehen, einfach mal bloß zu woofen? Für mich ist das eine wunderbare Gelegenheit, also so wie es Daniel gemacht hat, einfach mal sich ein bisschen Zeit nehmen zu können, ohne den permanenten Stress zu haben. Ich muss jetzt mir irgendwie Sorgen um meine Miete machen, und das habe ich ja in Australien auch sehr viel gemacht. Und dadurch konnte ich auch so ein bisschen erst dann auch dann spüren, was möchte ich eigentlich, was ist mir eigentlich wirklich, wirklich wichtig. Und wir wissen das ja alle innen drin. Also jeder von uns hat ja da diese Stimme, die dir sagt, das möchtest du. Die Herausforderung ist eben, wir haben verlernt, darauf zu hören, und unser Umfeld, das hilft uns meistens auch nicht dabei weiter. Und aus dem Grund, um denen auch ein bisschen entgegenzuwirken und dich da auch ein bisschen zu unterstützen, habe ich jetzt auch eine Facebook-Gruppe gegründet, die heißt Finde deine Berufung, wo ich eben in sehr regelmäßigen Abständen Value gebe, Facebook-Lives gebe und damit auch so eine kleine Community schaffen möchte, wo wir uns dann auch dann gegenseitig unterstützen und empowern, die Berufung zu finden, die für uns gut ist und nicht die, wo unser Umfeld sagt, das sollten wir mal machen, das klingt logisch. Ich schicke dir alle Infos runter in die Shownotes, wie du der Gruppe beitreten kannst. Freut mich mega, dich da zu hören oder dich da zu sehen. Und dann freue ich mich sehr, dich das nächste Mal wieder nächsten Dienstag wieder begrüßen zu dürfen zum Business Hippie Podcast. Let the Magic Happen, dein Ferdinand.